I'd like to say something tonight before I preach. Just want to say I love the Lord. Thank Him for all the years, all the faithfulness, and all the mercy. Through every situation of life, through every storm, there's been one constant, consistent person in my life. Somebody I could always count on, somebody I could always go to, somebody who'd always listen, and somebody who would always care. That's my Lord. I try to wake up every morning and tell Him that I love Him. But I just feel like there's just not enough words in my vocabulary. Not enough things I can say or do just to let Him know how much I love Him and how much I appreciate Him. It gets better as the days go by. He's the best friend that I've ever had. I just want you to know that I love Him and I appreciate everything He's done. Leitner's singing about that anchor. What will we do? Where would we go? How would we get by? How do lost people live without God in their life? How do they face what they have to face? Lost people face things we do, sometimes worse. What would we do without the Lord? I'm glad that He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm glad He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm glad He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad He's the great I Am. Whatever we need, He is exactly what we need in our life. And I certainly do appreciate that. I want to thank Brother and Sister Andrews for their friendship. 25, 26, I'm not sure how many years, but I appreciate them. Their love for the Lord, this church, and what they've done. Several years ago, I came to kind of a crossroads in my ministry, and the Lord changed directions of what I was doing. Some people understood and some didn't. That's how life pretty well goes on. But Brother Andrews continue to remain my friend. And I appreciate that, brother. I truly do. It means a lot to me, and I'll never forget. Cost him something, but I appreciate his friendship. And thank God for this church and all that they do. The ladies and all the hard work, the food and the room, everything was very nice. And I really, really appreciate it. Thank God for all these preachers and the messages they delivered. As a preacher, I know what that's all about. See, we just don't come to church. Church is our life. But just don't preach a sermon. You're getting part of us every time you come here. I appreciate these men praying and preparing and giving us part of their self, part of their life, and part of their time. I appreciate the singing. I truly thank God for the singers and all the preachers that are here. But I feel especially honored with Brother Homer and Sister Ellie Smith here this week. And I'm thankful for their faithfulness, their dedication, their commitment, and their steadfastness to the Lord. I appreciate the message you saw last night if you were here. A man who honored God with his life, and you saw God honor him. It's a very simple thing in your life. And when they did that, it was really good. Thank God for the good music that we heard tonight. I really do appreciate it, the good singing. I wish I could sing. I'm not going to, so you will be doubly blessed tonight. Amen. My wife sings. All of my boys sing. My daughter-in-law sing. All I can do is make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing but let her. Open my mouth and let her go. Amen. Can't sing her high C or low C, so I just sing lousy. Amen. I had that prison voice, always behind a few bars, never find the right key. Amen. It's what I've always had all of my life. Only thing musical about me is my nose. I can pick it or blow it whenever I want. Amen. Some of y'all be saying amen. That's about the only musical thing you have as well. Open your Bible tonight to the book of Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Thank all of you for all of your coming and being here, your prayers, your love and support. Appreciate you giving us an opportunity to be in the service and to say a few things that I hope will be a blessing to you. We realize tonight that God has certain attributes, characteristics, or traits that you and I cannot partake of or produce in our life. In other words, there are certain things about God that make Him God that you and I cannot partake of or produce in our life. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing and all-wise. Now, I understand we all know somebody who knows everything. But truly, there's only one person who knows everything. That's God. God is not only omniscient, but He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful as well. God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. I think if I had one thing I'd like to have, it's that right there. It would be neat to be in more than one place at a time. That's something every preacher could use in his ministry. God is an all-wise, an all-present, an all-powerful God. He is a God who is eternal. Now, I know you and I have eternal life, but that's only because we got in Him and He got in us. You and I have eternal life that will never end, but God is eternal in that He has no beginning and no end. God is immutable. He is unchangeable. He is sinless as well. He has certain attributes that you and I can just admire at a distance, thank Him for it, and praise His name that we know the true and living God. But there are some of His attributes, some of His traits and characteristics that He possesses we can partake of and produce in our life. Tonight I want to talk about just one of those, and that is the word compassion. Being compassionate. Being compassionate. In Lamentations chapter 3, it says this in verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Father, we bow in Your presence tonight, realizing there's only one way we can approach that throne, and that's through the precious blood and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to You in that name that is high and holy, that name above every name, the sweetest name that our ears have ever heard, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts have been blessed tonight already by the singing, and we appreciate just the privilege of being in the house of God tonight with Your people once again. We thank You for all the messages we've heard. We thank You for all the songs that people have been able to sing and be a blessing to our heart. But we need You to meet with us in this hour. We need You to bless our hearts, move in our life. May it not just be another time when we've been to another night of camp meeting, heard another sermon, put it in our sermon file and went away and changed and never changed our life in any way. But speak to our hearts, move in our souls and spirits, and change us tonight. God, if there be any man or woman here that's lost and never been saved, may tonight be their night of salvation. God, for everyone that is saved, all that names Your name tonight, work in their hearts, meet their need, and supply whatever they have. We know You're able to do it. We know that You're willing to do it. May You open our ears, our hearts, quicken our bodies and mind that we can receive this message from You tonight. I love You, Lord. And I thank You for the privilege of serving You and ask that You'd bless Your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He wept not for himself, but he wept for his nation. If there's ever an hour when we ought to have some prophets and people of God weeping for America, it is in the day and age in which we live. By the way, you're looking at a patriotic citizen, the United States of America. Thank God for the greatest nation on the face of this earth, America, the old red, white, and blue. My motto is love it or leave it. There are ships and planes leaving on a regular basis. If you don't like it, there are plenty of places around the world when you can go. I thank God for America, the freedom we enjoy tonight, that our forefathers shed their blood, paid their lives, gave all that we could have just to enjoy and doing what we're doing here tonight. Thank God for America. Thank God for the United States of America. He loved his nation as we love ours. But he saw his nation in a position and a place that brought tears to his eyes. Religious apostasy on every hand. Never has there been a day when there was more religious apostasy than today. There are more religions in the world today than in any other time. And you can't hardly stay in the prison ministry because of the false religions that have taken over in that work there. Religious apostasy was there. Moral degeneration depicted his society, and it depicts the day and age in which we live. Political confusion. Let me tell you, we live in a day where it really don't matter whether they're Democrat, Republican, or Independent. They're all just about the same anymore. I'm a conservative, and I believe in that position and that place there, but I find myself going to the poll and voting for the lesser of two evils. We need somebody to stand up in this great nation and not be ashamed of our God and call this nation back to the Lord Jesus Christ. But even in that dark and depressing hour, he found someone and he found something that gave him hope. In the darkness of that age, and in the depression of that hour, in a day of religious apostasy and moral degeneration and religious confusion, Jeremiah said, there's something that each day gives me hope. That every morning when I wake up, every day when I get out of bed, I have something new from God to meet me. He said, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's happening in my life, no matter what's going on in this country, thank God that every morning the new mercies and the new compassion of God are extended to you and I. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His compassion. Hey, let me tell you, the only reason we're alive tonight is the mercy of God. Since you and I have been saved, we've done enough wrong. God be right to kill us today and let our life to be over. But he said, every morning I wake up because he is faithful. I find new hope. I find new mercy. I find new compassion. I say, thank God tonight we serve a compassionate, loving, caring God who cares about you and I. The psalmist, when he wrote, tried to find words to fulfill that wonderful thought of him being compassionate. He said, he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity. As a matter of fact, 6 times in the Psalms it says, God is full of compassion. I'm glad tonight there's plenty of compassion to go around. I'm glad tonight there's enough compassion to meet every need. I'm glad tonight the compassion of God is sufficient for any sinner to come to the altar. Rugged cross, kneel at the foot of that cross, and hallelujah, be saved by the glorious grace and mercy and compassion of our God. Our God, I'm glad that His compassion is unfailing. There are times in our life when our compassion fails. There are people I have a hard time loving. Amen. Now, maybe not you, but there are people I have a hard time loving. There are people I don't even like. Much less loving them, amen. But God didn't say I had to like them, He just said I have to love them, amen. I have a hard time loving Osama bin Laden.
Thank you for that witness. Amen. I mean, I'll just be truthful with you. I have a hard time loving somebody like that. I have a hard time caring about somebody like that. But I want you to know something. My God is so full of compassion that over 2,000 years ago, when He died on that cross, He died for the sins of Osama bin Laden. And if he had turned to the Lord, he could be saved just like you and I. His compassions are unfailing. They're not like yours and mine. His compassions are undefiled. He is sinless. He is holy and He is perfect. He does not have a fickle love where He loves us today and hates us tomorrow. Cares about us today and doesn't care about His compassion is undefiled, pure, holy. It is like our God. It is always there for you and I that are saved by His grace. I'm glad that His compassion is understanding. Have you ever been misunderstood? Have your intentions ever been misinterpreted? If you haven't, you have not lived very long. Had a situation in my church come up not too long ago. Couple families got sideways. Now, I know these other pastors never have a situation like that. Their church is heaven on earth. Everybody agrees, smiles, loves each other, and they just get along. But I tried to help both of them out. I tried to be good to both of them, and both of them left the church. Misinterpreted, misunderstood, it does happen in our life, but I'm glad that my God's compassion is understanding. He can look down in the depths of your heart. He can know how you meant it. He knows what you meant to say and what you meant to do. He knows who you are. He sees your heart. He sees your life. As He said of David, you didn't get to build the temple, but I knew it was in your heart to do it. His compassion is unfailing. His compassion, we know, is undefiled. It is understanding. And it is undaunted. It is not discouraged in our life. His compassions fail not. In the New Testament, it says of Jesus Christ, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. The Bible said when He came to that leper, He was moved with compassion. The Bible said when that woman came and told of her daughter, He was moved with compassion. And that story, the prodigal son, when the son came home and that father represented the Father in heaven, He saw him a long ways off. Hey, you know why He saw him? Because He's always looking for him. Because I believe He never took His eyes off of him. He knew where he was at. And when that prodigal came home, he didn't say, "Why'd you mess up? Why'd you do that was wrong? Why did you let me down?" He ran to where he was, to his arms around him, kissed him, and the Bible said, "Hey, hey." As this old prodigal came home to God, God saw me a coming, ran to meet me, threw His arms around me, kissed me, and had compassion on me. Woo! Yeah. The Bible says that Jesus Christ moved with compassion. I'm just about to get warm, I'm going to tell you that right now. The thing that marked His ministry was compassion. You know what distinguishes our God from the other gods? He's full of compassion. He ministers with compassion. He moves with compassion. He's motivated by compassion.
Some people give you this idea, God's up in the sky, He's got a big billy club, and He's just looking for you to do something wrong. And if you do something wrong, or think something wrong, or say something wrong, He's going to hit you in the head with that billy club. If that's true, we'd live all of our life with knots on our heads, black eyes, and we wouldn't have a tooth in our mouth. Can there be a witness out there? My God ministers with compassion. He moves in compassion, and the thing that marks His ministry is compassion. When we come to that little book of Jude, it says this simple statement, and of some have compassion, making a difference. What makes a difference? What makes a difference in a Christian's life is compassion. What makes a difference in a church is compassion. What makes a difference in a preacher, a child of God, is compassion. There's one thing that will make a difference in your individual life, your family life, and your church life as well. When you want to be like Jesus Christ, minister with compassion. Be motivated by compassion. Move with compassion. Let me tell you something. If my God is a God full of compassion, how many agree He is? Say amen. Then when I move with compassion and minister with compassion, I am God-like. Christ-like, and I am Spirit-filled by the power of God and the Holy Ghost. Being compassionate. Being compassionate. The people that we remember in our life are of two kinds, basically. Now, there's all kinds of people you meet, all kinds of people you remember. But there's two kinds that stick out in your mind. One, those that did you dirty. Get that smile off your face and remove that evil thought from your mind. I used to hear a preacher years ago, he said, bless God, I got a list of people that have done me wrong. So if I ever wake up one day and backslide, I'm going to go beat the devil out of every one of them. You know what makes that so good? That's exactly how you feel. Some of them just need a good old-fashioned whooping. Whooping, that's a Greek term. You'll get it later on. That original Greek, you don't know what it is, but a whooping! We remember people that hurt us, and then we remember people that help us. Remember people when we were at the lowest hour of our life, called us on the phone, sent us a card, gave us some money, maybe just put their arms around you. Said, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'll be there for you. Being compassionate. I want you to think about compassion defined. What is compassion? Sympathy at the distress of others. Pain over those who hurt. Weeping with those that weep. Compassion is sorrow that's brought by the distress of others. Not your distress, somebody else's distress. Compassion deals with sympathy that you have for others that are hurting. Sorrow that is brought about by distress or misfortune of others. And then suffering with those that suffer. Disposed to show pity. Inclined to show mercy. When I opened up that old Webster's Dictionary and read those things, and I read that compassion was sympathy, sorrow, and suffering with others, I said, I'm reading the definition of my God. I'm reading the definition of my Savior. There's nobody that's ever been more sympathetic with us than God. There's nobody that's ever been more willing to suffer with us and for us and because of us than our God. There's nobody, I say nobody, who's been a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief for us like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Thank God. I want you to know tonight, all of us are going to need to be shown compassion sometime in our life. There will be a time when we all need sympathy. We'll need somebody to sorrow with us and somebody to suffer along the way. We need to be realistic. This coming year, if the Lord doesn't come, we don't die. Some of our loved ones are going to die. The reason I've not been able to be here for 3 years is because 3 years in this exact week of July, I've had major people in our church and our life pass away. They came. One was 50. One man was 70-some years old. Last year it was my aunt that went home to be with the Lord. That phone call, it is cancer. And there's nothing we can do. Your loved one has but a few weeks. You better call hospice. It's a terrible sounding word, isn't it? All of us will need to be shown compassion in our life. And I'll tell you something about it. Everybody in this world were surrounded by people who need to be shown compassion. Lost people need to know we care about them. I said lost people need to know we care about them. Lost people need to know we care about them. They're just not a number we report to somebody, a baptism we call into somebody. They are somebody we have love and care and compassion for their soul. Some of them are out of church. They need to be shown some compassion. Some of them, their hearts are broken. They need to be shown compassion. Some of them went through some valleys that you and I probably would have never come out ourselves. They don't need somebody to criticize them, tie them up, kick them while they're down, shoot them in their back. They need somebody to come along and be like Christ and be like God and say, I want to help you. I want to be there for you. I want to lift you up.
I think that
should mark a church. I think that should mark a ministry. I think that should mark a preacher. Hey, all of us preachers, we'll preach some tough stuff. Tough stuff. Don't look at me so funny. Nod your head and say amen. I preach stuff, but I got myself into conviction. Amen. I mean, tough stuff. But then a pastor in this building, or a preacher, or a missionary, who truly loves God, isn't preaching that tough stuff just so you don't have to go through it. And let me tell you, I want you to know something. No matter what you've done, where you've been, and what's going on in your life, if you'll start coming toward God, that man of God will start coming towards you. He will. He'll be there for you. He'll be there to help you, and He'll be there to lend that helping hand. Compassion defined as sympathy, sorrow, and suffering for others. One of the most moving scenes in athletic history happened in 1992 in Barcelona Olympics. 400-meter dash was there. There was an Englishman named Derek Redmond. You got to understand that when you go to the Olympics, it isn't like you just wake up in January and say, oh, the Olympics are in June. I think I'll go. No. This is a lifelong commitment that you make. He went there, was the one who was picked to win, started out, got a little over halfway through the 400-meter dash, and when he did, felt something in his hamstring muscle and fell to the ground. Let me tell you, I don't care how big, strong, tough, exercise, whatever. When the hamstring pulls, you will go to the ground. He fell to the ground in pain. Everybody passed him by. All of his dreams passed him by. All of his hopes of ever winning passed him by. The crowd kind of gasped in the air together, knowing he was the chosen one to win that. But all of a sudden, he struggled up and grabbed the back of that leg. And he came there to run the race, and he was going to finish it. He fell down again, and he couldn't seem to make it up. And all of a sudden, his father, who was up in the stands, crawled over the barrier and came down. And they said, you can't go out there. He said, that's my son. I am going out there. He picked him up. He dusted him off. He put his arm around him, pulled and carried him all the way to the finish line. When I read that, I said, if he's done that for all of us, and it has. You'll never be more godly until you bend over in the dust. Pick up some crippled human being.
Some who's broken by the sins of this life, and dust them off and put your arm around them and say, "Brother, you can make it. Sister, you can make it. God's on your side. We're on your side. We're going to make it to the finish line." You said, "I've fallen. Get up again. I've stumbled. Get up again. I've failed. Get up again. I've messed up. Try it again. Get up. Get up.
Compassion defined is that sympathy, that sorrow, and that suffering. Compassion developed. How do we get this? How do we get this kind of compassion? Let me say this. It's unnatural. It is supernatural. To care about people that don't care about you, it's supernatural. It's not human. It's divine. God loved us before we ever loved Him. God loved us when some of us hated Him, spit in His face, mocked Him, and made fun of Him. But He just kept loving us and showing compassion. How do I develop it? Well, it comes from our wonderful God. It comes from seeking Him. I believe the Bible said every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. It comes from Him. Seek His face. Sit with Him. Sit with Him. You know what David used to do? He'd just go in there and sit before the ark. That Old Testament ark represented the presence of God. And I know this is not the presence of God, but this is the Word of God. I believe when we sit before it, in essence, we're sitting with Him. When we seek this, we're seeking Him. This is the revealed Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was what?
God.
Spend time with Him. Little girl memorized a verse. Sunday school, you know how it is. They can't memorize a whole lot. They memorized God is love. God is love. She came home that day and had her daddy's Bible. She opened it up. She's over here in Genesis. God is love. God is love. God. She acted like she was reading it and turning every page saying, God is love. That's good theology. From Genesis to Revelation, there's one theme song. God is love. God loves man more than he could ever fully comprehend. Compassion is developed from our wonderful God. Number two, compassion is developed from the woes of life. The woes of life. Nothing will make you more sympathetic towards somebody else than you going through it yourself. There's an element of truth. There's an element of truth that you cannot really know what somebody else is feeling until you've been there. You know, in a church, people are there. They're sinners. You know what I've observed in churches? God brings people in who have been through almost every situation in life. Somebody else will go down that valley. And there'll be some brother or sister to be able to come alongside of them. So I know where you're at. I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. God's going to be with you.
Amen.
Nothing will make your heart more tender toward others than to have your own heart broken. Nothing will make you more sympathetic and to have sorrow and suffer with others than for you to be in the same position they've been in. You see, God is so good that even when He permits a trial or testing in our life, He's doing it so He can use us later on to help somebody else. He's teaching us a lesson that we can learn no other way. Compassion comes from our wonderful God. It comes from the woes of life. And it comes from the worth of a soul and a life. The worth of a soul and a life. We saw him in the night. His dad got cancer and he was lost. He's from England. Came over here. Never been saved. His son had tried to witness to him, but you know how that is, family. Prophet's not without honor, except among his own country and kin. So I asked my wife and I to go up, and we went up there and witnessed to him. Now, I know you don't agree with this and all that, but that's all right. First time we went, we just talked to him about where he's from, where he'd lived, what he'd been through. I'm interested in England, Europe. I'm interested in all those countries over there and talked to him about it. And when we left, we just left in gospel track, told him the Lord loved him, died for him. I know you don't believe that, but I mean, we didn't try to make him make decision the first time we talked to him. I wanted him to know we cared about him. We went back a couple times. Boy, he's getting real close. He's kind of asking questions. And then somebody came in and tried to witness to him and tried to force him to pray a prayer. Now, I'm not against soul winning and witnessing. But you can't save or bring anybody to conviction. If the Holy Spirit isn't convicting them, let them know you love them. Let them know God loves them. Give them the gospel and go on. Some of you ought to know that. You were witnessed 200s of times before you ever got saved. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came knocking on your door. When He came, you didn't need nobody. So He got kind of resistant toward us. The son came in and said he's doing worse. He only has a few weeks to live. My wife became very burdened for this man. She stood up on a Wednesday night in front of our ladies. We have a prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. She told these ladies, she said, "We're not going to let this man go to hell. We're not going to let him go to hell." She came home that night, tears crying. She said, "I want to go up there 3, 4, maybe 5 times a week. I want to sit with Mr. Fox. And I want to just be there with him." She went up, she'd wet the wash rag and wipe his brow. Take the straw and give him a drink. See him, talk to him, tell him about the Lord loving him. And after about 2 weeks of that, she came home crying and smiling at the same time. Did you ever have one of those days? I said, "You don't have to tell me." She said, "I'm going to tell you." Is there a witness? She said, "Mr. Fox got saved." That's a few years ago, and we saw his son in Cracker Barrel the other day. He stood there and cried. You know what he said? "Thank you for loving my daddy. Thank you." You know what my wife did? She loved that man to God.
Amen.
She loved that man to God. You know what God did to us? He loved us to Himself.
Amen.
He loved us to Himself. Compassion defined, compassion developed, and compassion desired. Where is that compassion in your life and mine? Where is that kind of compassion? Does compassion mark you as a Christian? Are you motivated by compassion? Do you move with compassion? Could I be honest and give a testimony that's probably the testimony of most of us here today? When I first got saved, I could not pass a person without trying to witness to them about the Lord. I could not talk to my loved ones about anything but them getting saved. Was never a night went by. My pillow wasn't wet with tears. I said, "God, don't let them go to hell. God, don't let them go to hell. God, don't let them go to hell." Where are those tears today? Where is our compassion today? Where is that God-like, Christ-like, Spirit-filled love for every people? Where's it at? I want to admit tonight, I have to desire this many times in my life. I have to say, Lord, break my heart again. Lord, give me those tears. God, give me that compassion. God, give me that care and concern. Are you a compassionate Christian? You know why Brother Patterson, these other men and ladies have these homes? I'm going to guess it's not because they make a lot of money. I'm going to guess it's not because it's an easy job. Because they care about people that nobody else seems to care about. They love people that nobody else seems to love. Being compassionate. Tom Dotson, a name that none of us probably in this building know, but a name very familiar in Michigan and especially in the prisons. Tom Dotson, by the time he was 30, had spent over half of his life in detention centers, jails, and prisons. He was raised in a Christian home and rebelled and went out in the world. He would come to jail, get out, come to jail, get out. But there was one prison chaplain who every time he came and said, Tom, the Lord loves you. Jesus died for you. And I care about your soul. This went on for years and years. And finally, Tom got saved. They had a meeting one night where some of the inmates gave their testimony. This chaplain was there. And he looked at that chaplain. And he said, keep on loving people. Keep on caring about people. He looked at that chaplain. And he said, thank you for not giving up on me. Let me tell you, there's some Tom Dotson that's waiting for you and 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 waiting for you. Don't give up on them. Don't quit loving them. Being compassionate is an attribute of God we can partake of and produce. If He's full of compassion, we should ask God to fill us tonight with that compassion. Would you bow your heads in prayer?